Welcome back to the Rav Hirsch on Chumash series on OU Torah. My name is Michael Gutman, and this week we'll be studying Rav Hirsch's Perush on Parshas Beshalach. And I want to begin this shiur with Kriyas Yamsuf, which is the subject of the first half of the Parsha, specifically the very end of the Kriyas Yamsuf narrative, in which we see the reaction of the Jewish people to the events that took place at the Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea and the drowning of the Egyptians in it. And at the very end of Perek Yud Daled, the last pasuk before the Shira, we read, "Vayar Yisrael asayod hagdolo asher asa Hashem b'Mitzrayim." And Klal Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, saw the great hand, the great power that Hashem had used against Mitzrayim. Vayiru ha'ames Hashem, and the people, the nation, feared Hashem. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo, and they believed, they trusted in Hashem, and in Moshe his servant. So this pasuk is telling us the impact, the profound impact that the witnessing Kriyas Yamsuf had on the Jewish people, when they witnessed the great power, the Yod Hagadolah of Hashem, that was evidenced by his actions against the Mitzrayim causing their downfall. Then they were inspired with feelings of Yirah and Emunah. Vayiru ha'ames Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. And this, Rav Hirsch writes how Emunah and Yirah are the two basic qualities that stand out, that should be present in every single Jew who stands before Hashem. And these are the characteristics that were inspired in the Jewish people at the time of witnessing Kriyas Yamsuf. And these are the feelings that should be stirred within us, even to this day, when we read about Kriyas Yamsuf. And it's our responsibility to reenact these events daily. When we read the Shiras Hayam, the Mishnah Berurah says how one should have a feeling of joy when he reads the Shira every day and envision himself as if he is crossing the Yamsuf himself at that time and feel as joyful as the Jewish people did when they were saved then. So in that spirit, it's worthwhile to dwell upon the Yira and Emunah and how we should relate to that. And Rav Hirsch writes that there are three things here to notice: the Emunah, the Yira, but also the Yad HaGadolah. And Rav Hirsch writes, "To demonstrate and to teach these three virtues of God, his justice, which is to be feared at all times, his love, which is to be trustingly awaited at all times, and his mighty power, freely commanding over all things and acting with mercy and justice simultaneously, that is the eternal significance of the moment of this salvation, unique in its greatness, when the once enslaved nation, now forever free, saw the colossus of Egypt stretched out dead at its feet." What Rav Hirsch seems to be saying is that the Emunah and the Yirah seem to correspond to the fact that Hashem, through Kriyas Yamsuf, simultaneously acted with what we would call Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim, with justice and love. The same Kriyas Yamsuf is both beautiful and terrible. It is an amazing chesed to Klal Yisrael, Yeshua, and at the same time it is a way of meting out punishment to the Egyptians for all the wrongs that they committed. And Hashem is able to make the chesed and the din happen simultaneously. Even, in fact, Rav Hirsch points out in an earlier pasuk, how a few pasukim earlier, that we read how Vayashuvu Hamayim, that the water crashed down on the Egyptians, but then the next pasuk says Uvnei Yisrael Halchu Bayabashu B'Sochayim, that the Jews were still crossing through on dry land. So Rav Hirsch says it seems that while the Jews were coming through on one end, on the other end of the river, of the sea, the water was coming back down to the Egyptians while the Jews were still in the river, in the seabed. So simultaneously, there is punishment and salvation. And the salvation inspires our emunah, our trust in Hashem, and the witnessing of this punishment of Hashem's and Hashem's justice inspires a certain sense of fear in us. And these are both inspired by the Yad HaGadola, the power that Hashem displayed at Kriyas Yamsuf. And I want to share with you, I want to read with you a few quotes from Rav Hirsch's explanation of Yira and Emuna in Chorev, where he expands on these concepts which we bandy about so often, but are in very vague, unless we work on pinning them down and defining what they mean. So in the 8th chapter of Chorev, Rav Hirsch defines what Yiras Hashem means. He writes, "The fear of God consists in laying to heart all that Scripture has so far taught you about the greatness of God, such as His omnipotence, His grandness, His omnipresence, His endless activity, His majesty, His giving of the law, His omniscience, His scrutiny, His justice in judgment, His just retribution, etc. In impressing all this so vividly on your mind, that the thought of His greatness never deserts you, and that everywhere and always and in everything you behold the Almighty, great, creative, omnipresent, all-ruling God, who has revealed to you His law for guiding your life, and watches to see whether you fulfill this will of His, and examines and judges and requites you. Yiras Hashem means, strictly, to see God everywhere, and to feel your own littleness in His greatness." In a sense, Rav Hirsch is defining Yiras Hashem as Shivisi Hashem Linegdi Samid. The idea that I place Hashem before me always. In constant awareness of Hashem's presence, an awareness that Hashem is, and not Hashem's presence in the sense that we think about Hashgacha Pratis, but more a sense of Hashem's watchfulness, Hashem's omniscience and omnipresence, and Hashem's constant presence at all times, seeing what we do, watching what we do, being aware of every aspect of our lives. And when we have that feeling, when we have that consciousness, then we are, in a sense, afraid of Hashem. And we are afraid to act a certain way that will be unbecoming of us, knowing that we are in His presence. And this Yira is inspired by a knowledge of Hashem's presence, and the Yad HaGadola, the vision of Hashem's overt actions through Kriyas Yamsuf, is what inspires this feeling of Yira. It inspires us to realize and recognize that Hashem is truly with us at all times. Hashem is there. And knowing that, having seen it, at Kriyas Yamsuf, Klal Yisrael felt a sense of Yira, an understanding of Hashem's presence, an understanding that we have to act accordingly, knowing that we are in the presence of Hashem. As the Ramah writes in the first Siman of Shulchan Aruch about the concept of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, he writes that Klal Gadol Batorah of Malas Tzadikim, but then, which we all know from the song, but then he continues and says that a person's actions and the way in which he conducts himself before a king is not the same way in which he conducts himself in private. And similarly, we have to be aware that we are in the presence of the king at all times and conduct ourselves accordingly. So, Kriyas Yamsuf gave Klal Yisrael a concrete sense of Hashem's presence at all times, and thereby giving them a feeling of Yira, of Yiras Hashem, by Yiru Ames Hashem, is inspired by the Yad HaGadola. As to Emunah, in the 10th chapter of Chorev, Rav Hirsch defines Emunah as well. And he writes in the beginning of the chapter, "Emunah, trust in God, means to hold fast to God, to His promise, to His law, to His grace, even though His ruling hand does not show itself in our experience, and the fulfillment of His promises seems to lie far away, even though obedience to His law seems to threaten extinction, and all claim to His grace seems to have been forfeited through sin." In other words, Emunah is that despite the fact that we don't see Hashem's constant presence, we trust that it is there. But towards the end of this 10th chapter, in paragraph number 76, Rav Hirsch continues in greater detail. And he writes, What is this emunah? Thoughts about the greatness and goodness of God are its source, producing in the mind fear and love of God. The proof of such greatness and goodness lies in the past history of our ancestors, in which God is revealed. On such revelations of God in history, you should base your life and trust. For God revealed himself in these dispensations precisely in order that later generations might perceive his goodness and greatness and cling to them. Build up your life on this foundation, and do not ask for miracles in your own life to prove the existence of God before you are willing to trust him and perform his commands. So we see how Rav Hirsch writes, emunah is based on previous miraculous revelations of Hashem, which is primarily Ma'amad Har Sinai, but also Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Yod HaGadola inspired a feeling of Yira, an awareness of Hashem's presence, and a recognition that we must act accordingly. And it also formed the foundation of emunah, Vayaminu BaHashem. Because having seen this, they were now able to trust in Hashem going forward, that even when they would not see the hand of Hashem, but they could they trusted in Hashem, knowing that he was there, having seen his miraculous intervention at the Yam Suf. So for all future generations, for us, when we read about the story of Kriyas Yam Suf, this pasuk says it all about how we should feel and what our reaction should be. Vayari Yisrael Yod HaGadola, just as they saw the Yod HaGadola Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim. When we read about this Yod HaGadola and these great actions that Hashem did against the Mitzrayim, Vayiru Ames Hashem, Vayaminu BaHashem, that we should have feelings of Yira, of an awareness of Hashem's presence through this intervention, and an emunah that carries us through difficult times, times where the Yad Hashem is obscured, where we don't see this Yad HaGadola, but we still trust that it is there on the basis of this historical experience. And the truth is also Vayaminu BaHashem uv Moshe Avdo. The emunah also carries over for Moshe as well, who, by stretching out his hand, was the instigator of the splitting of the sea. And so this also gave them a sense of emunah, a sense of trust in the abilities of Moshe Rabbeinu in his divine mission, and that he was truly the messenger of Hashem. Now, when after Kriyas Yam Suf, the Jews turned to the Midbar. And the second half of the parsha contains a number of episodes: Mara, the Mun, Rephidim, and Milchemes Amalek. And each of these episodes were meant to, Rav Hirsch writes, to bring home the idea of this Yira and Emunah, the feelings that they felt after crossing the Yam Suf and seeing the Mitzrim dead on the shore. After seeing what happened at the Yam Suf, yes, they had Yira and Emunah, but perhaps that was only as long as they saw supernatural events in extraordinary circumstances. The journey through the Midbar was meant to teach them that Hashem's presence can be felt in everyday life and should be felt in everyday life, not just at the Yam Suf. So the Yira and Emunah was an immediate instinctive reaction to Kriyas Yam Suf, and the rest of the parashas where Hashem attempts to hammer that message home and make it a part of the Jewish people's identity as they approach Matan Torah. Matan Torah was, of course, promised beforehand. We read about it in Parashat Shmos, where Hashem said, Hashem had promised them that they were going to worship Hashem on this mountain. They understood that there was a Torah coming, that they were going to become the people of Hashem shortly as part of this journey. And that was really their next goal after they left Mitzrayim. And in the 7 weeks between leaving Mitzrayim and receiving the Torah, Hashem wanted to show them that they had to be able to feel Hashem's presence at all times. Because the truth is that without those feelings, there is no Torah, there is no Avodas Hashem. Because we otherwise there's no impetus to keep the Torah. Rav Hirsch writes, and this is in his Parash on Perek Tesvav Pasuk Chaf Hey, which is by the story of Mara. Rav Hirsch writes, "The exodus from Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea demonstrated to Israel for all time God's special closeness at extraordinary moments. But only by their journey through the wilderness, which was only now beginning, were they to learn that one can place his trust in God under all circumstances, even for the provision of everyday necessities, that even daily petty human needs are the concern of his providence, that the eye of God is on those who fear him, on their every breath. From the beginning, it was told to them that a momentous goal lay before them, even before they would enter the promised land, as Moshe had been told. There, with the acceptance of the Torah, they were to enter the service of God. This Torah, which requires that every second of our daily lives be spent in the service of God, requires as indispensable traits confidence in the presence of God at all times and in every place. The Torah requires the certainty that if we do His will, He will guide us, safe and happy, through the most desolate deserts of our lives and will sweeten for us the bitterest experiences that life can offer us." And so, with Mara begins the introduction to Kabbalah Satorah. And Hashem intentionally took them into the Midbar, where there is no water. And we read that they enter the Midbar and for 3 days have no water. And then they finally arrive at Mara, where there is water, and the water is bitter and they can't drink it. And what does Hashem do? Hashem instructs Moshe to take a certain piece of wood, throw it into the water, and the waters become sweet. And this was meant to, Rav Hirsch calls it a dramatization of the value of Torah. The idea is that Hashem, with the word of Hashem, sweetens the bitterest experiences. And that even though life is difficult, Hashem is always there. And Hashem's word, the Torah, Hashem's command to us, Hashem's guide book for us, is meant to make our lives valuable, to make our lives sweet. And this is the most basic principle of keeping the Torah. And so at the outset, Hashem wanted to make sure this was clear to them. So they also saw their own personal weakness without Hashem's guidance. And they saw that Hashem was truly there for them, and His word would solve all their problems, even if it wasn't obvious to them in the same way that it was at Kriyas Yamsuf. And in fact, Rav Hirsch points out that the Mechilta on this pasuk says this almost outright. And the Mechilta there says, "Davar min haTorah hereihu." Hashem showed Moshe a word from the Torah. Shenemar vayorehu Hashem eitz. It says that Hashem showed him wood, but vayarehu Hashem eitz eino omer. It doesn't say vayarehu from the Shoresh ra'ah, to see, that Hashem caused him to see, Hashem showed him. Ela vayorehu from the Shoresh of Torah, to teach. Hashem taught him the wood. And so Hashem taught him this wood, meaning that it's a Torah. This is a command from Hashem. This is a teaching of Hashem that teaches how to make the bitter water sweet. And similarly, all of Torah, all Hashem's teachings are meant to make the bitter waters of our life sweet and give value to our lives, even when we don't see necessarily the value in it or see Hashem's guidance. But His word, we can always trust, is the right thing for us. And that is the message of Mara and tossing this wood into the bitter waters. And then we move on to the Mun. And Rav Hirsch writes about how through the Mun, Hashem showed that He is present and involved even in the smallest human needs, even in our basic livelihood, which there's nothing more mundane and physical than that. But Hashem is involved, and Hashem takes part in it, and Hashem is guiding our livelihood, and Hashem is ensuring that we are taken care of. And Hashem wanted to make sure that they saw that quite clearly, to be aware of His presence and involvement in their daily lives, in all facets of their daily lives, so that they would then be able to bring the Torah into every aspect of their daily lives as well. And one of the most telling parts of this story is the very beginning, where after they come to Midbar Sin, again they're in the wilderness, they were at this oasis of Elim, and then they come to another desert area in the wilderness of Sin, and they have no food, and everybody complains. And Rav Hirsch writes how the biggest lesson to take away from this story, before we even get to the Mun and get to Shabbos and all the rest of the story, one of the biggest takeaways is how the fact that they had seen miracles upon miracles a month earlier in Mitzrayim, at the Yom Tov, all this falls away when a person feels his basic survival is in danger, when he feels threatened. Hunger is looming over the nation, and that causes them to throw away everything they know about Hashem, everything they've experienced. Rav Hirsch writes, and I'll read you some of his parish because it's fascinating. He writes, "The memory of the miracles of deliverance and salvation in Egypt and at the sea, along with the basic instructive experience at Mara, all these vanish before the specter of starvation that now threatens their wives and children. This too may be the point of the rabbinic dictum, Koshin mizonosav shel adam yoser mikriyas yamsuf. The provision of one's daily bread is more difficult than the splitting of the sea. The threat of hunger, real or imagined, undermines all principles and rescinds all noble resolves. As long as a man cannot disengage himself, not from the responsibility to provide for his family, but from the overwhelming anxiety resulting from this responsibility, he is unable to fully realize God's Torah." And then Rav Hirsch goes on to expand on that last line, where he talks about how the responsibility, there is a responsibility to provide for one's family, but one shouldn't feel an anxiety because of that. Because he should realize instead that Hashem is partnering with him. He has to do his part, and Hashem will take care and make sure that he is taken care of. Rav Hirsch writes, "Freedom from this overwhelming anxiety comes only with the deep awareness that concern about one's livelihood, the foremost among all human concerns, does not rest, not even primarily, on man alone. He must realize that toward this end, too, man can and should do only his part, namely, what God expects him to contribute toward the achievement of this objective. As for the success of his efforts, he must leave that to God, who watches over every household and every single human soul, and extends his mercy to all his creatures. Man must realize that his work for his livelihood is not a privilege, but a duty. It is a responsibility, and Hashem then ensures its success." And the knowledge of that Hashem is involved, and the knowledge that Hashem is going to take care of him, relieves him of the anxiety that comes along with the struggle for a parnasa. And if he is gripped by this anxiety, then he will do whatever it takes at all costs to ensure his parnasa, because he feels this is entirely up to him and Hashem is not helping him. There's no divine intervention in his parnasa, and so he will spend all his time on his pursuit of parnasa because it's absolutely necessary for survival, and leaves no time for any higher values, no time for anything else. But all he does is pursue subsistence, pursue wealth, and pursue more wealth, and this is to the exclusion of all other goals in life. And so, to stress this point, Hashem took his people into a real midbar, a place where there is no food and no means of survival. And what happened? The anxiety broke out and they complained. And Hashem wanted to show them how somehow in these circumstances, with that because they lacked an awareness of Hashem's presence, they forgot everything that Hashem had ever showed them of his existence, of his presence, of his awareness of and involvement in their lives up until now. And the lesson was, they should not feel that way. They should not feel that anxiety. Even when they, if they felt this way in the Midbar, then they shouldn't have to feel that way if in their own lives later on, when they were not in the Midbar and there were means for survival and they could find some sort of way to earn a parnasa and put in their hishtadlus and do what their part, there's no need to feel an anxiety and Hashem will take care of them. And they should remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mara, all the lessons Hashem taught them along the way of His involvement. Remember that Hashem is with us at all times. Hashem is always aware of what's going on in our lives. And it's not only our burden to share. As a first word, it's not even primarily our burden to bear. And Hashem will ensure that we will be taken care of as long as we do our part. And that's also the lesson of the Mun as well. The Mun taught certain basic truths about how to go about earning a livelihood and what a person's responsibilities are. And this refers talks about when he, in his explanation of the description of the collection of the Mun. And we read how everybody went out and collected. And they were supposed to collect an omer lagul golas, one omer for each person, which is the precise amount that each individual needed to eat for that day. And they were to go out and collect it, which they did. And the Torah tells us that that Vayasu Chein B'nei Yisrael, this is in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayasu Chein B'nei Yisrael, they did so. Vayokatu Hamarbev Hamamit, the one who collected more, the one who collected less, they all gathered. Vayomodu V'omer, and they came home and they measured it against the Omer. V'lo Hedif Hamarbev, the one who collected more, did not have extra. V'hamamit Lo Hechsir, and the one who collected less, was not missing anything. Ish L'fi Achlo Lakotu, they had each gathered according to his needs, according to his needs, what he needed to eat. And it turns out that each person attempted to gather the appropriate amount. And if he had came home with a little bit more, a little bit less, miraculously it turned out when he got home, he had exactly what he needed. And Rav Hirsch says, this teaches us that there are two traits that must be avoided. That laziness and greediness. The idea is that everybody got what they needed. There's no need for greed. Everybody has what they need. Everybody came home with an omer, but everybody went out and tried their hardest to collect an omer. Everybody had to work for it. Nothing comes from nothing. You had to go out and attempt to collect an omer. And when they got home, if they were missing what they needed, Hashem filled it in. If they had too much, though, Hashem felt they didn't need to have extra. Hashem gave everybody what they needed. So again, we see that through the mechanics of the Mun collection, Hashem taught the value of hard work, while at the same time teaching that greed is unnecessary because Hashem ensures that everybody gets what they need. And there was a third part of this, which is the command that Moshe gave not to leave over until the morning. Everybody was supposed to collect what they needed for that day and not save up. There was supposed to be a certain reliance on Hashem that Hashem was taking care of their needs every single day and not to worry for the future what tomorrow was going to bring. And this was also teaching that one shouldn't be stingy. There's no need to deny himself, for a person to deny himself the enjoyment of Hashem's blessing because he feels what's going to happen tomorrow. Hashem blessed somebody with a certain amount of parnasa. It's a blessing to enjoy. Hashem wants him to have it. There's no need to hang on to it and to store it away. And if when they did store it away, what happened to the mun that was stored away? It became wormy and it rotted. And that's what happened. Rav Hirsch says that's what happens when a person feels the need to be stingy and hoard his possessions, because that's not what Hashem wants him to do. That's extreme materialism, and in a sense denies Hashem's existence, denies Hashem's involvement in his daily needs, his daily parnasa. So these aspects of the Mun teach us our work ethic, and teach us how we're supposed to do our part. And we only do what's expected of us, and Hashem fills in the rest. And that's why Shabbos is an integral part of the Mun as well, because Shabbos reinforces this message. And we've talked about Shabbos before in earlier Shurim. I think we definitely spoke about it the most in Parashas Lech Lecha when we talked about Bris Milah. And the idea of Shabbos being that in the middle of working, we stop. The Shavas means to cease one's work in the middle. And when we work for 6 days, and the seventh day we stop our work, we are, that's in a sense what we are, our attitude towards our parnasa at all times. Our attitude towards our parnasa is we do what we can do, we do what we need to do, we put in our effort, and then we stop. And Hashem completes the rest, and Hashem ensures its success. Just like we work 6 days and rest on the seventh. And that's why Rav Hirsch writes how when Moshe teaches the people about Shabbos in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Moshe says, "Hu asher diber Hashem." This is what Hashem says: "Shabboson Shabbos Kodesh la Hashem Machar." Tomorrow is Shabboson Shabbos Kodesh. It is Shabboson means a cessation of work. It is a cessation of work which defines Shabbos Kodesh, because this cessation of work shows our attitude towards our parnasa. If a person goes out to find the mun on Shabbos, if a person works on Shabbos and endeavors to make a livelihood for himself, even on Shabbos, he shows that he must work for his livelihood at all times, because if he doesn't work for his livelihood, nobody else will do so. There's no room for anybody else to be assisting him. He denies Hashem's involvement. And that is the serious transgression of Chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos denies Hashem's presence in the mundane physical aspects of our lives, in the smallest details of our lives. A person who's Mechal Shabbos is in effect saying, maybe Hashem runs the world from on a higher plane, and Hashem makes miracles when extraordinary circumstances call for it, but in my day-to-day life, Hashem is not present. That's the statement that one makes through Chilul Shabbos. That's why Chilul Shabbos is so serious. So here, when Hashem is teaching Klal Yisrael about the Mun, teaching Klal Yisrael about his awareness of their daily needs and his involvement in their daily lives, even in a physical sphere, here is where we learn about Shabbos. Here is where we read about how we must rest once a week to remind ourselves of the appropriate attitude towards our parnasa. And in a sense, Rav Hirsch writes, and I'll quote to you from the middle of his parish here on Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Rav Hirsch writes, "Through the Shabboson in this sphere of activity, Jewish man will subordinate himself to God, initially in seeking his livelihood, as the instinct of survival is the first and strongest incitement to subdue the world." Meaning that's where he subordinates himself to Hashem, in something that's closest to him, something that's most important to him, because it's the key to his survival. Rav Hirsch continues, "Just as the Sabbath of God impresses on the world the seal of free divine creation, the Sabbath of man impresses on man's creative work, i.e. on his activity in subduing his world, the seal of divine authority. Through the Sabbath, man dedicates himself and his work to the service of God." In other words, the fact that we rest on Shabbos is what characterizes our work during the previous 6 days as Avodas Hashem, because it shows our awareness of Hashem's role in our parnasa, and shows that we are doing what we need to do to serve Hashem, and Hashem will take care of the rest. It shows our acknowledgement of Hashem's presence in every aspect of our daily lives. And Chilul Shabbos denies that. And on even one step further is the command that Moshe gives that they were to save food from Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, which they were not supposed to do any other day. Because even though, generally speaking, one shouldn't save from one day to the next because he's worried about who's going to provide for tomorrow, but should trust in Hashem's that Hashem will provide for him. But when it comes to mitzvah for Shabbos, for Sudas Shabbos, something that a person saves for above and beyond his basic needs for the purpose of a mitzvah, that's different. That has the blessing of Hashem. That will not rot like the other leftovers. So we see here how through these details in the story of the mun, how Rav Hirsch explains the purpose of the mun at this point in time. Hashem's goals in sending the mun to the Jewish people was meant to teach them, again, to reinforce the feelings of Yira and Emuna that were inspired at Kriyas Yamsuf, and to show them how those same feelings should be felt throughout every day of their lives, in every aspect of their lives. Because Hashem is involved even in their basic needs of and their basic parnasa. Hashem is there for them. Hashem is watching over them. Hashem is taking care of them. And because of that, they should feel a need to act accordingly, Yira, and trust that Hashem is there for them even when they don't see it, Emuna. Even when there's no mun falling from the sky every day, we should still have that same awareness of Hashem's involvement in our daily parnasa and in every aspect of our general survival. The next step, the next story in the parsha, is the story of Rephidim. And this is in this story, again, there is no water. And Hashem tells Moshe, after the people complain, Hashem tells Moshe to hit the rock. And water comes from the rock. Now, Rav Hirsch points out that where is this rock? The Pasuk in Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Vav, tells us where Hashem commands Moshe, Hineni omed lefanecha sham al hatzur b'chorev. I am going to be standing with you on the rock. The rock is at Chorev. Chorev, as we know, is Har Sinai. Now, the people are at Rephidim. Moshe is going to go hit the rock at Har Sinai. So it must be, Rav Hirsch says, that there's no more than a day's journey between the two. They're close by. Even at Rephidim, they're this close to Har Sinai, within view, such that when Moshe hits a rock at Har Sinai, the water flows to them at Rephidim. So Rav Hirsch suggests that the intent of the lack of water at Rephidim was, again, to reinforce this point of the role of Torah in our lives, that they would have no water in Rephidim. They would be there for a short period of time. And then they would come to Har Sinai. Water would come from a rock in abundance. And they would see a clear distinction to a life without Torah and a life in proximity to Torah. And that from the Torah, they would find their survival, their water. In fact, the Be'er Shel Miriam, the well that was in the Merit of Miriam, which provided them with water throughout the 40 years in the desert until Miriam's death, was this very rock. And this very rock had its origins from Chorev. So we see that throughout the 40 years in the Midbar, every drink of water they had its foundation at Har Sinai, at Har Hashem, the mountain where they received the Torah. And this is a message to them of where what was the source of their life. Their source of their physical life was this water, and just as this water came from Har Sinai, the source of their spiritual life, the source of their existence, is the Torah that emanated from Har Sinai as well. This was meant to be expressed clearly through not having at Rephidim and having at Har Sinai. But when the people complained, so then the water still came from Har Sinai, came all the way to Rephidim. Again, showing them how even in times of where we are lacking what we need, but our survival comes through the merit of and by way of the Torah emanating from Har Sinai. And the final episode of the Parsha is the war against Amalek. And Rav Hirsch writes that while the previous episodes of Mara, the Mun, including Shabbos, and the water at Rephidim, showed them Hashem's presence in their natural existence, in their own existence in the world, now we see Hashem's presence in their interactions vis-a-vis the nations of the world. And Amalek comes and starts up with them, and we see Hashem intercedes on the behalf of the Jewish people and helps them and strengthens them to defeat Amalek. And we even read in the Pasuk how the Moshe lifted his hands so that the people should daven to Hashem. It was not Moshe's arms that would help them succeed. When Moshe lifted his arms, they were victorious. When Moshe dropped his arms, that they would be on the defensive. But when Moshe raised his arms, people would look heavenward, and they would have emunah in Hashem, that Hashem would take care of them. And in fact, that the Torah describes Moshe's arms as emunah. In Pasuk Yud Beis, in Parak Yud Zayin, the Torah says, "Vayihi yadav emunah ad bo hashamesh." And our first translates this as, Moshe's hands remained an expression of trust until the sun set. That with Moshe's hands raised heavenward, it was an expression of emunah in Hashem. And that emunah in Hashem, that memory of Hashem's presence through his previous historical actions and interventions was the way where was their vehicle to success against Amalek, not their physical strength and their power, but their emunah in Hashem. And our first point says it wasn't the emunah of the leaders. The leaders were up supporting Moshe's hands. Aaron and Hur were holding his hands up so that the people down below, the entire nation, your average Joe, was looking up and seeing Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, and it was that person's emunah. The average person's emunah is the emunah that saw them through in this fight against Amalek. And through this story, we see not just in their own lives, but in their interactions with other nations, especially those who wish to harm them, it was clearly displayed for them how Hashem is involved, and Hashem is there for them, and Hashem is protecting them in all circumstances. And this is how Amalek fits into this picture as well of the reinforcing the message of Kriyas Yamsuf. And so now, through this parish of Hirsch and the Parsha, we see how the entire Parsha comes together as a concise unit. There's Kriyas Yamsuf, which, as the concluding act, the finale of Yitzias Mitzrayim, shows Hashem's immense power. The Yod HaGadola of Hashem is on display, and it inspires in them Yira, and it inspires in them Emuna. And then, for the next few weeks in the Midbar, Hashem attempts to reinforce that message and ensure that it remained with them in their daily lives, not just in miraculous situations, in extraordinary events, but from the basic Shmiras Torah Mitzvos that was required of them day in, day out, from their Parnasa, through the Mun and through Shabbos, and the value of Torah and how Torah is the source of their sustenance, as represented by the water from Chorev to Rephidim, and the Emunah in Hashem that He will help us succeed in our activities and in among the nations of the world, and in resisting any violence that may come our way. These were meant to reinforce the ideas of Yira and Emunah, so that the inspiration of Kriyas Yamsuf remain fresh in the hearts of the Jewish people, and they will be ready for Matan Torah with a full understanding of Yira and Emunah. And so we should use these stories as inspiration to us as we read about Kriyas Yamsuf, and we read these stories, that we should implant Yira and Emunah in our own hearts and take those lessons into our own lives to enhance our avodas Hashem, so that we ourselves are able to keep the Torah as it was meant to be kept from the moment of Matan Torah, which we will read about in next week's parasha.